fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's begin with African boxing, one area with a very proud pedigree in terms of producing quality fighters is Bukom, located in Ghana's capital, Accra. Some notable boxers to come out of Bukom are former world champions Azuma Nelson, Ike Quarte, and Joshua Cloti. Sammy Haywood is the communication director of the Ghana Boxing Authority, which sanctions and governs professional fights in the country. Sammy was born in Bukom and still lives in Bukom. Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori asked Sammy, did boxing in Ghana originate in Bukom?
People of Accra, Bukom, they love to fight. In the past, they call something asafashore, that is gang fighting or group fighting. So in the past, you see this gang fighting against another gang, or a group fighting against another group, called asafashore. So through this asafashore, we got people who are very, very strong. They are the leaders. For times, they select one person to fight against the other gang's best boxer or best fighter. Mm-hmm. So the best fighter will win. Then they'll hail him. They'll carry him shoulder high. Then they'll see he's the champion. So, you know, the people of Accra, they like fighting. So that's how they got interested in boxing. Mm-hmm. So the people of Accra, they don't fear to fight. And there's a place called Bukom in Accra, a very special area, which is very, very high populated. And those people like to create scenes, or they like to create a lot of fighting. Mm-hmm. So it's a habit of, they don't fear to fight. Fighting became not an entertainment mm-hmm. or a pastime for them. Okay. So Bukom became synonymous with boxing. Or I can say boxing became synonymous with Bukom in Accra.
Can you name me some of the originators of boxing, those boxers fighting for Ghana outside the country?
In the past?
Yeah.
Okay, in the past, you had great boxers like Lovaluti. Okay. And they have interesting names.
Yeah.
You know, like Lovaluti, mm-hmm. Floyd Robertson, mm-hmm. Roy Ankara.
Okay.
You know, some of them. Okay. And these people inspired others, mm-hmm. like DK Poison, mm-hmm. Azuma Nelson. Mm-hmm. Even Ikwate Senior. Mm-hmm. We had Ikwate Senior, the Clement Ikwate, mm-hmm. who won a silver medal for Ghana in the 1960 Olympic Games in Rome. Mm-hmm. So all these boxers inspired the youth. You know, currently, there can be a youth in Accra mm-hmm. who will say, I don't want to go to school, mm-hmm. I want to be a boxer.
Right.
And you get shocked that, why do you want to be a boxer? He said, I want to be like Ikwate. I want to be like Azuma Nelson.
Okay.
I want to be like Afrekwote.
Yeah.
You know, because these champions inspire the youth of Accra.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody wants to become a boxer.
Yeah.
But they thought boxing is a business or is something that can make you rich and have a good living.
Okay.
You know,
good.
And Ghana has produced about 10 world champions.
Okay.
So everybody wants to become a champion in Accra.
How is life for the youth coming up who are choosing boxing? How is their life start from the beginning? I mean, their schooling, and are they dropouts or they keep on schooling and then boxing?
Most of the boxers are dropouts.
Okay.
They think they can make something out of boxing.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't even want to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
But now, currently, the Ghana Boxing Authority has come up with the program that if you don't go to school, you won't box. You know, last year we came up with the Fist of Fury Boxing League and mm-hmm. Championship for amateurs and professionals.
Mm-hmm.
There were even junior boxers too who were involved.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't go to school, you will not box.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the children don't want to go to school,
mm-hmm.
but want to become boxers.
Okay.
And you know, if you're not a good student or you haven't gone to school, you're not educated, you can't be a good boxer.
Good.
Because in boxing, you have to use so many things to become a very good champion.
Yeah.
So if you have to go to school, you're allowed to fight.
Yeah, Sammy, you were born in Bukom. You live here all your life in Bukom. And there are a lot of gyms around here in Bukom. How sophisticated are those gyms here?
You see, it's very interesting that a small place like Bukom in Accra, we have over 20 boxing gyms. And that's what I say, why? Mm-hmm. You know, everybody wants to become a champion. We have Bukom boxing gym. Mm-hmm. We have Sunya boxing gym. We have Atukwashi boxing gym. We have Bak Mate's boxing gym. We have Seaview boxing gym. We have Wisdom boxing gym. We have so many, about over 20. Mm-hmm. And every gym has very, very good bosses. I bet you every gym has a very good bosser. Mm-hmm. Every gym has a champion. Yeah. But you know, one thing is that the trainers are not all that qualified. Although they can train you to become a champion, a very, very busy problem is training of the trainers, mm-hmm. you know, training of the coaches. Mm-hmm. Although they are coaches, they don't train the bosses very, very well. That's our problem. But the bosses are very, very good. The bosses are strong. They can fight, but have to get a very good trainer mm-hmm. to train you. Not, you know, boxing or sports is not about being strong.
Yeah.
Have to be mentally sound, mentally strong mm-hmm. before you can become a very good boxer mm-hmm. or a very good champion. Mm-hmm. Because you must be educated yeah. because you can become a very good champion. Mm-hmm. But the thing, because you can win, that's all. Because if you become a champion and you don't behave well in town, mm-hmm. what's a good boxer?
Okay.
So let's train good boxers mm-hmm. who are very good, not only in the ring, mm-hmm. but outside the ring too. They are very disciplined.
The government of Ghana in 2016 put up and inaugurated a boxing arena called Bukom Arena. Has it been beneficial to all those aspiring boxers?
Thank you for this question. You know, where the Bukom Arena was built, formerly it was a very slum place, slum. Mm-hmm. They put refuse there. Mm-hmm. But thank you for the government of the day, NDC government led by President Joe Mama. Mm-hmm. They put up the edifice, mm-hmm. a very nice edifice. It's called the Transports and Forum.
Okay.
So under the Transports and Forum, we have the Bukom Boxing Arena. And the other facilities in the place, mm-hmm. we have a swimming pool, we have a gym, we have a restaurant, we have a conference hall, mm-hmm. we have even a physio center. There are so many facilities in there, even a boarding house oh. in the Cross Boxing Forum, which many people call the Bukom Boxing Arena. And that boxing arena or forum has been beneficial to us.
That's Sammy Haywood, the communication director of the Ghana Boxing Authority. And he spoke with Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori in Bukom, Accra, Ghana. And we'll hear more from Sammy and Kwabena during Wednesday's show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Still with African boxing, two twin brothers are doing what they love best, teaching young Ugandan fighters who dream of achieving international glory. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, Magume Davis Rakawinj tells us more in this hard-hitting feature from Kampala.
It is a great thing to be coached by an experienced coach, but it's even much better to be trained by two experienced boxing twin brothers, says Ugandan boxer John Katongole. The two twins train Katongole simultaneously at a local gym here in Kampala. Hussein Khalil, the 1982 Commonwealth gold medalist, dominated boxing in Uganda before changing alliance to Kenya and later joined paid ranks both in the United States and Europe. Khalil vividly remembers his journey and says not even the political instabilities at the time would hamper him to pursue his dream of becoming a boxing legend in East Africa.
I was a Ugandan champion in 1980. I became a light flyweight champion. By then, our president He said he has banned all the sports for about a year. Yeah, there was this boxing could not go on until we get everything organized. Then the Kenyans say, no, why don't you come and join us? I joined a club called Kenya Breweries. I got there, and then I became... they are preparing for the Olympics in 1980, which was going to take place in Moscow, USSR. But unfortunately, Kenya boycotted the Olympics. Then we had a tournament called the Kenya Golden Cup, the countries which boycotted the Olympics.
The tournament, that was in part sponsored by the great boxing legend Muhammad Ali, attracted hundreds of boxers from over 40 countries across the globe. Harir won bronze and says that was the start to even more success locally and internationally for the years that followed.
Participated in the big tournaments like African Championship 3 times. I got a 2 times. I boxed and I got a silver gold medals in lightweight. I got two gold medals in 1980, 83 and 84. Then I went for the Commonwealth Games 1983. It was in Brisbane, Australia, where I got a gold medal in lightweight.
His success influenced his number one fan, his twin brother, Hassan Khalil, who was then a footballer.
That time I switched from football to boxing. Because it is individual sports, I switched to the boxing. If you push yourself, you can be a champion. I have about 174 fights since I started boxing. I had 174 fights. I lost only 4 fights. I won only 170 fights. And I pushed myself.
Along the way, the Khalil brothers say they learned different tactics that they decided to come and impact in the young generation when they retired from boxing in 1993.
1994, that's the time we started with very few boys. All the boys came and said, okay, we started. Let's try and see and produce some good boys. We were lucky in the final, in the national championship, we took about three boys. Two of them got to the finals and one became a Ugandan champion. That was Michael Obin.
They started East Coast Boxing Gym located in Naglu, a Kampala suburb, that has since produced hundreds of boxers, many of who have won both national and international fights. Budding fighter John Katongole says he's assured he'll win medals because of the skills he gains from the two coaches.
When you move with champions, you become a champion mentally, physically, emotionally. Yeah, my coach is a Commonwealth medalist. My coach has a good record in amateur, and also he has produced a lot of champions. I am the national fly champion 2019, and it's because of East Coast Boxing Club.
The Khalil boxing coaches pride in what they do and say as twins, it is easy to motivate boxers.
Whenever I see a boxer, I tell him, you champ. They feel proud. They feel well and good. And then it encourages them. He train him how to attack, but me, I train him how to defend himself.
The two twins say Uganda has many talented boxers. They believe one day their boxing club will produce boxers to dominate boxing nationally and internationally. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Hello, listeners. This is Hussein Khalil from Uganda. I'm a gold medalist in Commonwealth Games 1982 in Brisbane, Australia. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C. Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight? Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In European club football, Bayern Munich of Germany and Sevilla of Spain lifted big continental trophies over the weekend. Bayern captured its sixth UEFA Champions League title, and Sevilla won a sixth UEFA Europa League championship. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with African football analyst Charles Anazodo.
I find it totally amazing what Sevilla have accomplished as far as the Europa League is concerned. Six in total, it's absolutely mind-blowing. They become specialists as far as the Europa League is concerned. But I kind of gave Inter Milan a chance to make a difference here under Antonio Conte. Unfortunately, the own goal scored by Lukaku kind of spoiled the party, but you can't walk away from the experience of this Sevilla team. Very tight-knit going forward in defense and of course in midfield as well. You know, the engine room of any football team is decisively the midfield, and they've got it all going for them right there. When they conceded the goals, they just never lost any kind of confidence at all, believed in themselves, and at the end of the day it all held sway. And you must be happy for their manager as well, Lopetegui. The biggest thing of his career was coaching Real Madrid, and automatically when you manage a team like Real Madrid, it's expected that you would be successful. That wasn't his case, which could explain the reason why he was shedding tears after the final game, because here he has been vindicated that he's not just a manager, but a manager with a requisite experience, and this will do a lot for him as far as the CV is concerned. It's a win-win for both parties. The only thing left for Sevilla now is to win the UEFA Champions League in itself, not just keep dropping down to the Europa League where they become experts. I guess for Lopetegui, his next ideal situation would be to compete favorably as far as the UEFA Champions League is concerned. But as far as this Europa League, I mean, they are the masters, they are the kings of it, and deservedly so as well.
Did the victory of Bayern Munich in the UEFA Champions League final come to you as a surprise?
You know, six seems to be the number, the favorite number of all of these teams participating in the finals of the Europa League and, of course, the Champions League as well. Earlier, we spoke about Sevilla winning their sixth, and for Bayern Munich, they also won their sixth UEFA Champions League trophy as well. Did it come as a big surprise for me? Not really, by virtue of what they had accomplished, you know, all the way to the final. Deservedly the best team in the UEFA Champions League, no doubt about that. I've got the best goalkeeper in the world. I've got the best striker in the world in Bayern Munich. And their manager also comes from a train of success, especially with the German national team up until now, where he's in full-fledged management position. It's absolutely amazing what they've accomplished. So it was shocking for me just a little bit, because I really wanted PSG to be the second French side outside of Marseille to win the UEFA Champions League, because I mean, you look at their defense. They actually had the very best of defenses coming into the final. A defense better than Bayern Munich, but Bayern Munich had the better as far as goal scoring was concerned. So I kind of thought with all of that maturity in the back line, especially led by the 35-year-old Thiago Silva, they'd do a lot better. They missed quite a lot of chances, PSG. And this is where experience comes to play. And Bayern Munich have all of that in abundance, and it showed. At the end of the day, the goal from Coman, who was an 8-year-old at PSG, coming back to haunt PSG. I mean, that's a fairy tale story, you know. And for Alphonso Davies as well, coming from absolutely nowhere, a black boy, and today he's a Champions League winner. You know, it's a feel good story that can be told for very many years to come. So when you look at all of that and put all of that into perspective, and how Bayern Munich have played all through the season, yeah, deserved champions. But did I want PSG to win it. Sentimentally, yes, for the likes of Mbappe and, of course, the Argentine as well, Angel Di Maria, and for Neymar, just to prove that he's got that extra oomph, you know, to become one of the world's greatest. Unfortunately, that didn't happen, but deserved champions in Bayern Munich.
In your opinion, who were some of the standout African players in the UEFA Champions League and Europa League competitions this year?
The list of African players in the Europa League and the UEFA Champions League is just totally endless. If we had to list them out, we would never finish the program for today. But quick off the top of my head, players who have impressed me the most, I've got to mention the likes of Adama Traore. Yes, he actually, yes, wants to represent the Spanish national team, but we do know that he's African, and of course he's Malian as well. And he just might, with the new FIFA regulations, just might also get to play for Mali as well. He's been magical on the wings. His speed has been electric, coming off the bench sometimes to make the desired impact, and has always made that made the opposition feel that impact. He's been absolutely fantastic. No wonder the likes of Barcelona are actually looking for his services for next season. He's an absolutely electric footballer, and he's been everything. Odion Ighalo hasn't really played that much for Manchester United, but every time he's come off the bench, he's made an impact. And that's exactly why he was brought to Manchester United. And I think he's lived up to his billing, up to his expectation. If he's given more chances, I'm sure that he would do a lot better for Manchester United. Aubameyang of Arsenal, what can you say about Aubameyang? I mean, every season he ends up the top goal scorer on the Arsenal side. And his exploits with the team, as far as the European concerns are concerned, is there for all to see. So, you know, off the top of my head for Europa, these three players definitely stand out. As far as the Champions League is concerned, Riyad Mahrez at City, another one African player who doesn't come off, who doesn't start games on a regular for City, but every time he comes on the wings, just like Traore, he's also been explosive as well. Having transferred from Leicester City to Manchester City, I mean, he's lived up to the billing. He's won the African Footballer of the Year award. You know, he's just an exciting player to watch on a regular. And I think really that he should deserve a lot more playing time as far as that team is concerned. You can't not but speak about the likes of Sadio Mane and, of course, Mohamed Salah. We all know what they're about, you know, with the Liverpool side. Unfortunately, this season, well, it didn't happen, but they will be seen as European champions by virtue of what they accomplished last season. So you can't walk away from them. Now, there's a particular youngster that really impresses me every time he plays. Fatih Ansu of Barcelona, who was born in Guinea-Bissau but represents Spain, could also still play for Guinea-Bissau, you know. Well, maybe not, since they can't even qualify for the African Cup. That's talking about the AFCON. But he's an African player who's 17 and already playing with the big boys and making a great impact at Barcelona as well. You know, his buyout clause, absolutely mind-boggling. So he's one player I think is for the future and has always been very impressive. So, yeah, this is my list. I mean, off the top of my head, I'm sure there are other players as well, but these ones really have been impressive as far as I'm concerned so far.
That's Charles Anazoto, an African football analyst. And Charles spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Charles Anazoto, an African football analyst. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Please, I urge you to continue to stay safe and avoid contracting COVID-19.
Saw the social media say that I'm confirmed of COVID-19. I did a test on Saturday to leave, because I work, trying to be responsible, so I'm going to stay in and stay for my friends. And also, having no symptoms, so going to quarantine myself and wait on the confirmation to see what is the protocol and how should I go about quarantining myself from the Ministry of Health. So until then, talk to all my friends and tell them that they're going to come in contact with me, should, just to be safe, quarantined.
That's Usain Bolt, the world record sprinter and 8-time Olympic champion, saying he's in self-quarantine but has no symptoms for the coronavirus. Bolt says he's waiting to hear back from Jamaica's health ministry on a COVID-19 test he took over the weekend. Usain Bolt celebrated his 34th birthday last week with a big bash, and we certainly wish him good health. And that wraps up the August 25th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.